KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear to partly cloudy skies. It's 32 degrees, and we look for it to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 53. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Creston police say two men were arrested on separate charges over the weekend. Saturday night, 40-year-old Michael Williams of Creston was arrested at his residence for domestic abuse assault by impeding the flow of air and or blood. Williams was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. And late Sunday morning, 29-year-old Carlos Gutierrez of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was later released on a $300 bond. The Cass County Democratic Party has arranged distribution sites for donated clothing and bed linens to those in need throughout the county. The articles were collected during their winter clothing drive. And here are the locations, dates, and times for distribution. At the Wyota Fire Station on December 8th from 2 until 3 p.m. At the Atlantic Elks Lodge that same date from 4 until 6 p.m. Oneida City Hall on December 14th from 10 until 11:30 a.m. The St. Patrick's Church in Messina on December 14th from 1 until 2:30 p.m. The clothing and linens will be distributed at the Lewis Community Building on December 15th from 1 until 3 p.m. and at the Griswold Community Building from 3:30 to 5 p.m. on that date. And finally, at the Cumberland United Methodist Church on December 18th from 4 until 5 p.m. Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly says once again, Cass County has responded overwhelmingly to the call for donations, and she thanks everyone who donated in any way, whether it be by allowing them to put drop-off boxes at their businesses or making donations to the drive. She says it demonstrates a true community spirit. And although the Democratic Party is sponsoring the event, Telly said that it is a nonpartisan event, and that's part of their mission, she says, to give to those who need a hand up. Everyone needs help now and again, she says, and that's why we sponsor so many different drives during the year. We're trying to help meet the needs of our community. Iowa 3rd District Democratic Congresswoman Cindy Axne Saturday afternoon addressed a handful of persons at the Atlantic High School Media Center, where she held her Connect with a Congresswoman event, one of 16 she was holding, and are designed to, quote, protect our democracy. Axne spoke to about Congress working on health care initiatives for Iowans and Americans across the country. Some of her own bills, she said, include working on physician shortages within our communities or segments of the Affordable Care Act that are preventing small communities from getting access to the health care they need, and by addressing those.
Like closing the loophole that requires a physician to be on site for outpatient therapeutic care that doesn't require a physician, and that's real easy to have somebody on site when you're up at Mercy Hospital or Unity Point Clinics in Des Moines, but not always easy. You know, I've been to the Atlantic Hospital. It's a great hospital, but sometimes, you know, there might not be a physician on site when someone comes in and they don't need a physician to care for them, but they need some other service. Should be able to provide that service.
To that end, she says she wrote a law to eliminate that regulatory oversight for critical access hospitals and rural health care clinics. She says Congress is also working on big health care initiatives, including three key areas of a prescription drug bill that will reduce the cost of prescription drugs within Medicare.
First and foremost is to allow us to negotiate the cost of the most expensive prescription drugs within Medicare. That's over 250 of them now. And then being able to extrapolate that across every person in the United States. So we negotiate that cost within Medicare, but then that gets applied to anybody in the country who purchases that drug.
There's also a proposal in the bill to put a cap of $2,000 on how much persons with Medicare would have to pay for prescription drugs.
It puts in place that Americans will pay no more than 20% over what somebody in another country pays for a drug, one of the drugs that we produce here. Because right now, we pay 4, 5, 6, 10 times over what other companies and more charge for the same kinds of drugs. So this puts a limit on that.
Axne says the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates the bill would save billions of dollars. She said also that they're working to move the USMCA forward. That's the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement. Rural Atlantic farmer and resident Denise O'Brien took issue with that, saying it's not any different than NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement.
I've worked on NAFTA in the 1990s, and I worked all the way through. And yes, it is important, but I just read something this morning that the tariffs
and the renewable fuel standard waivers.
Yeah, that push is a false narrative. The USMCA is the same as it's There's not a lot of difference than now. And Canada hasn't signed it yet either.
Axne says the things that have hurt our economy the most is the trade war with China and the RFS. She said she'll continue pushing for it because it's important to our state. And she warned that if the trade war continues and there's no wiggle room on the RFS or renewable fuel standard, we will continue to see commodity prices at all-time lows and markets close. She said also the Japan deal looks good for us, but we're losing a lot of market share with China that we won't get back. Axne spoke to a child who'd attended the event with her mother about how she's working to help young people get a better education and prepare for the future.
Putting money in our public school systems, Pell Grants for kids who don't want to go to four-year college and might want to go study a trade so that they can actually get that type of assistance paid for, because we've got a lot of really good-paying jobs here that are going unfilled.
And the man she defeated in the last election, former 3rd District Congressman David Young, said during a recent visit to the KJAN studios that Axne's record hasn't been good for Iowa and that she has high expectations for herself but low deliverables. Axne said in reference to Young, show me some facts.
That says nothing. The reason that he has nothing to say is because my record has been really good for Iowa. I'd love to see what he's got to prove that, because from what I can see, all he's trying to do is trying to tie me to some big socialist narrative with some folks out in New York. I'm a capitalist. I own a small business. So if all he's got is the fact that they're going to try name call me and tie me to something that I'm not, please take a look at my record. If he had something, he would be mentioning it. But as a matter of fact, I take a very solid look at supporting our district and currently hold a much higher percent of bipartisan votes than he ever did in the House.
Elsewhere in news from across the state, Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris told a crowd in Washington, Iowa this weekend that now is the time to talk about the contrast between the candidates. Harris suggested her political aims are far different than rivals Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
I'm not trying to upend and blow up systems. I'm not trying to start a revolution. I am not a socialist.
Harris suggests her tax plan will lift low-income working people into the middle class. She proposes a new $3,000 refundable tax credit for Americans earning an income below $30,000 a year. Former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro campaigned in Iowa this weekend, also meeting with the Iowa Harm Reduction Coalition on Saturday. Castro has suggested drug addiction should be treated primarily as a public health issue rather than a crime. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack is endorsing Joe Biden, saying his personal losses give him the capacity to comfort and heal the need to heal a divided nation. During a rally in Des Moines on Saturday, Vilsack said the former vice president is best able to win the upper Midwest, key to Democrats in 2020. Vilsack said the deaths of Biden's first wife and infant daughter decades ago and his older son's death from cancer in 2015 make him a man with empathy, a man who has the heart of a president. Vilsack, a former U.S. Ag Secretary, served with Biden in the Obama administration. Biden, an early favorite for Iowa's leadoff caucuses, has gradually slipped behind Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren. All 19 state-licensed casinos in Iowa now have a sporting gambling license. Racing and Gaming Administrator Brian Arilko said the commissioner has approved a license for the Casino Queen Marquette at their meeting last week.
Marquette has not selected a partner yet. However, they are in negotiations with multiple companies.
Sports gambling revenue increased again in October, which was the second full month for sports gambling.
Part of that is because we're seeing more operators go live. I think some of it also is because of the season that we're in. It's a very popular season with regard to sports wagering.
Sports betting began in mid-August, and some casinos were ready to take sports bets that day, but others have been or are still ramping up. Arilko said more operators will continue to impact the amount of money bet on sports and probably also impact on-site betting as well.
I would expect that November numbers will also be strong. We are seeing some spillover into the casinos. That number was very good in September and October. It did level off a little bit.
He says sports bettors have come in to sign up before starting to bet, but after that they don't have to come in, and they're reflected in that betting.
Operators that have a mobile app, not necessarily mobile wagering, but the companies that have an app that folks can use on their mobile device, we're seeing a greater proportion of wagers being placed on those devices.
Roko says that could grow to as more casinos get their apps up and running.
That will be another thing that we continue to monitor, and and just we'll see how much and what the impact of mobile wagering is.
The Iowa Racing Gaming Commission reports there was about $46.5 million bet on sports in October. That was up by just about $8 million compared to the first full month of sports betting in September. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.